Okie dokie, pig in a pokey. Hey, that's the Rick and Rollo line. Hey, everybody, it's the Fakeologist speaking. It is Tuesday, January 25th, 2022, rather. I wish it was 2012. This is actually my 10-year anniversary of being a Fakeologist. Did you know that? That was in April, really. But, it was about almost 10 years ago that I woke up. So that's a long time to be awake. Welcome, everybody. I didn't have any music to play at the beginning of the show. I was going to play something, but when I went to the musical archives, I didn't see anything added recently. Yeah, as you've noticed, there hasn't been a whole lot of new FakoTube stuff put up. Just haven't been watching as many videos, I suppose. I'm completely backed up on videos, mind you. Sometimes, because I have so many sources of info, I've been on Substack for so much, I haven't been really watching too many videos. But I do have tons and tons of stuff to look at. I'll just give you a list of some of the channels I follow on BitChute and YouTube, because what I do is I keep track of them separately. We've got 7 Grams of Salt, Amazing Polly, Eamon Bundy, Budget Demolition, Chris McKee, Conspiracy Castle, Coronavirus Plushie, David Icke, David Avocado, Defending Utah, Defy Tyrants, Tom Cowan, EarthNewspapers.com, Freedom Tunes, Friends of Yahweh, Game Time Woo, Guri, Greg Wycliffe, James Freeman, Jeff Green, Kate Wand, Liberty Talk, Matt Trujella, Michelle Triple X, Mr. Cheswick. Wow, he's actually good for a few songs. Let me play. What has he got? You got anything? Oh, I haven't looked at his. Okay, well, one of them is removed from YouTube. So this is his YouTube channel. Does he have anything worth looking at? Flat Earth, Wife Swap. What has he got? What has he got? Does he have any music at all? A lot of his stuff is removed. This one is an oldie, but a goodie. I could play this. I could play this one. I think I have played this before. Not sure why I'm following him on YouTube, because YouTube really censors a lot of his stuff. Can I play this one for you guys? This is for my British audience. And thanks to Nick from England. He downloaded, or he donated. Fakeologist.com/donate. Second most visited place to Fakeologist is the UK. So Mr. Cheswick does a lot of good mixes from December. Almost a month old.
Everybody wants you. Everybody wants your love. I just like to make you mine, all mine.
That's actually a pretty good song. Pretty well done. How long does Bojo have to last? Who knows? Who knows what they have in store for him? Who knows where the PSYOP is going to go? Quite the all-encompassing event, though. Welcome, everybody. Yesterday was a snow day. We had two Mondays in a row where we've had heavy snow. Yesterday wasn't that bad, but it did double my drive time. By the time I get home, I haven't eaten, and yesterday was around 8 o'clock. I had to eat, and then I had to wait for the food to go down, and then I just didn't have enough energy, so sorry about that. It does happen occasionally, in the winter especially, when it's harder to commute in Toronto. There's just as many people out on the road right now, even though we're technically in a lockdown of some degree. Don't ask me what degree. You'd have to look it up, but Ontario is probably one of the last places in the world, well, all of Canada really, that is really digging deep in the Western world in this game. I suppose Australia is too. But again, it's hard to keep up with what's going on where. I'll just report in from where I am. Hopefully this whole thing is going to unravel soon. That's the plan. That's what Tiago told us. I suppose we could have Tiago on. I didn't invite him on, but he could come. Maybe I'll just hit him up and see if he wants to slide in for a minute. And what else have we got here? I could go on a Facebook and just read Facebook as well. Facebook is pretty busy. As much as I don't like Facebook, everyone's on it. Everyone loves it. And if you want to try and keep up with the latest news with regards to some of the people I like, they put everything on Facebook. Here's a grocery store in Sudbury, Walmart, empty. Empty shelves. Here's something from the Toronto Star. I don't read the Star, but this is Benny and Honey Sherman, the never-ending whodunit. This guy owned a place called Apotex, which was a generic drug maker in Toronto. They have huge warehouses everywhere. And allegedly they were murdered in their millionaire mansion, which is just off the highway that I drive by every single day. Very mysterious and most likely a PSYOP. Tons of problems with it. Chris Jensen, or Dr. Scott Jensen in Minnesota. I really enjoy his stuff. Something from Greg Wyatt. I don't know why he's putting pictures of teeth. Wow. Talking about getting your amalgam mercury fillings removed. I don't have any fillings, but I did recommend that to my wife 10, 20 years ago, and she had hers removed. Well, the biggest thing in Canada is a trucker's convoy. And that is going strong. let me just say hi to the chat. Lost Spider Phallus, hello. And I'm okay. Mrs. Lost Spider Fowls, I'm a little tired because it's cold here in Kanata. It's minus 15 Celsius, which is pretty cold in Fahrenheit. Let me see what that is for you. Minus 15 Celsius and F. Okay, that's 5. It's cold out, and when I work outside, and it does wear me down for sure. Because when it's cold, your body obviously uses a lot of energy to stay warm. And I'm definitely more tired in the winter. There's less sun. The sun goes down, obviously, at 5 o'clock here. And I go to work in the dark, and I come home in the dark. So all those things do contribute to lower energy. And that's why people may appear ill in the wintertime, because there's less sun. It's colder. We spend half the time in a warm, sealed house, which is doesn't have fresh air, obviously. The air is drier, so we dehydrate more. You got to keep drinking in the winter. And therefore, I might sound a little more tired. I do try and go to bed earlier just to catch up and keep healthy. But yeah, I'm sorry I don't have my normal super energetic, but that's the explanation. Yeah, Dirty Benny. Yeah, you're talking about the truckers' funds. Yeah, I donated to that. I don't think it is a psyop. I don't think it is. The problem is that I don't think there's any one person really organizing it. So let's go look at the GoFundMe. And we can just type in GoFundMe. Trucker Convoy. Let's see what it's up to right now. Yeah, so the story is that it's up to 4.7 million. And GoFundMe, because it's so much money. The official story is that they just want to see a plan as to how they're going to distribute the money. I think the original intention is, and the reason I donated, is just to pay for the fuel. Because that's a huge cost. Okay, that's not the one. Freedom Convoy to feed. Let's see here. Where is the damn thing? See if I can find it here. Let's see what it's at. Okay, $4.9 million. And wow, look at the top donation is $13,000. Jadhvir Singh Dhaliwal. That's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And I think the biggest community in trucking is the Punjabi community, believe it or not. And I think I was talking to, I'm apparently being set up to go on a Punjabi radio show just to discuss truth. And I don't speak Punjabi, and I told the guy that, so obviously it'd be hard for me to communicate with any of the callers, but most of them speak. But my friend was pumping them up about the truck convoy, and obviously he got through to somebody, a radio show in Toronto, Punjabi radio show, and now the top donor to the truck fund is a Punjabi or Sikh person, indicated by the name Singh. So congratulations. So the Punjabi people, the Sikh people, they do very well in trucking, very well. They're very hard workers. Obviously, they get accused of driving the price down, but there's just so many in the business, and it's sort of a natural progression because most of them are farmers driving tractors from the homeland, so it's pretty natural for them to drive a big truck here in Canada, and many of them have done really well, really tremendously well. Actually, I think my old mechanic, I saw what looked like one of his trucks, new trucks, then drive by me tonight. Well, maybe he got into not only fixing trucks but running trucks. So they've done very well. So that's what you're seeing here. But I think this is a real thing. I think the problem is these two people here, Tamara Litch and BJ Dichter. Interesting name, BJ Dichter. Wow. I see what you're talking about there, Dirty. I guess that's a real person. I've never seen these people. But they've raised a ton of money, so now the question is, how are they going to get it to all these ragtag group that are heading towards Ottawa? It's going to be very hard to administer that kind of money to the right people that deserve it. So I suppose GoFundMe is taking some kind of responsibility and just saying, well, we better be careful. But yeah, of course, if the government's going to start fiddling with it, that's also very possible as well, because they don't want this to happen. The whole idea is to do a bear hug of Ottawa. Now we're hearing stories that they're going to close the major routes to Ottawa, which is, there's only a few ways to get to Ottawa, so it wouldn't be hard for them to cut off. But that's the whole point of this convoy, is to cut off Ottawa. So if the police or authorities cut off the routes, then where are all these trucks going to go? They're going to back up on our major arteries. Ottawa is off the main highway in the main corridor between Ontario and Quebec. But if they cut off the highway to Ottawa, then all those trucks will back up onto the main drag, which is, if anyone knows Canada, it's the 401, which is where I live all day long. So if all those trucks back up the 401, it'll have the same effect. Not only will it cut off the capital, but it will mean super big delays across central Canada, which is the heartland of Canada, which is where most of the commerce is. So I don't think it's a psyop, but that doesn't mean it's not being severely meddled with. Let me just see if Tiago wants to come by. What's his name? Tiago. Oh, he's on, Messenger. And I think that's where he hangs out, but now I can't find him. Oh, I spelled it wrong. Tiago. Okay. Come on if you want tonight. Go. What else do we have? I'll just keep going on Facebook for a while. Well, that's the talk of Kanakistan. Everything. Okay, he's going to come on. Diego is, Diego is a Facebook person. So the minute you can always reach him on Facebook. So let's see when he'll slide on here. Peteroo, you're saying you're going to head to Ottawa. That's good. Good for you, man. I'm not going. I don't have anyone to cover my work, so I have to keep going at my work. Okay, let's just take a look at the, say hi to Tunax. And yeah, I don't think Trudeau's going to give in, but you never know. Peteroo, hello. And In Rise Movement, hello. Go Truckers Go. It's got international attention. We'll give it that. Absolutely. Oh, fantastic. I don't know. Maybe I did I give. Got to make sure Tiago has the right code to get in. I may have changed it. Let's just see here. Tiago. Hold on, guys. I'm terrible at multitasking. There you go. Yeah, I must have changed the invite link. Sometimes I refresh it by accident. So anyway, he's got it now. He'll be in a sec. Let's take a look at more posts here. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of people trying to get involved with this convoy. I still think it's a ragtag army. Susan Stanfield is trying to get a hold of Pat King. Let's talk to Tiago. We'll bring him in. Tiago, hello. How you doing?
Hey, brother. How are you, man? How are things going?
Things are good. It's so hard to keep up. I'm just going nuts here. Nice. I missed my show last night because I got it snowed here in Toronto again. So once the snow flies, the 401 stops, and it took me forever to get home. But yeah. It's all about the trucker convoy going on right now. That's talk of Canada right now. What do you? Uh-oh, you're laughing. Why is he laughing? Are you? Dirty Benny thinks it's a psyop. What say you?
Well, you know what? I applaud their passion, and you know, a lot of people, thousands or hundreds of thousands of people are getting together. That's great. That's good for them.
Yeah.
But they better not make this a missed opportunity. I'll put it to you that way. You know,
what should they do?
You know, it's very It's tough. It's a really tough thing for me, because if they're going to go there for a couple of days and have a picnic and sing and dance and go home, nothing is going to get accomplished and zero is going to happen, and it was all for nothing. So my thoughts on the whole thing are, you know, if you have that many people going down there, they should be going down there for a serious reason.
Well, that's a serious reason. Look at this truck trying to run over Trudeau here. That's a good photo slop. a lot of the great memes are on Facebook. I think this is getting pretty big. There's some serious do-re-mi in the GoFundMe.
They got over like $4 million and
closing in on five.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I mean, I just don't want this to be a missed opportunity. I just don't want them going there, you know, holding a street party and then going home. That's not going to do anything, really. It's good if you want to go dance and sing and meet some new friends and stuff and have like a street picnic, but you know, other than that, it's not really going to accomplish anything, in my opinion. So I hope they have a serious plan and don't make this a missed opportunity. And the other thing that I'm not liking here is on mainstream media, I don't know in the United States and around the world, but here in Canada, I've seen reports already that they're already claiming this could be another January 6th.
Be aware that the globalists that are controlling Canada. Canada's captured, by the way. I believe that for sure.
Captured. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, this is
just... I really do believe, as much as it's oversimplification to say that Klaus Schwab is the evil guy from the Mike Myers movies, Austin Powers, you know, the bald guy with the German accent. I really think that he has done a masterful job with the World Economic Forum by developing these young globalists over the last 25 years. He has put in the energy and the time. And I wanted to play this video. I don't know if you've seen this. I don't know who sent it to me. Probably Topo Chico, who's a Bitcoin crypto guy who sends me stuff. But take a look at this.
And I have to say, when I mention our names like Mrs. Merkel.
By the way, that didn't look like Trudeau in that picture, but I don't think it was, but it doesn't matter. It's the idea here.
Even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Half of the Trudeau cabinet. This is in 2017. Our young, he said our, and then he cut himself off. He said young global leaders. Like, these guys are trained.
Wow. Yeah. Sorry.
That's this guy keeps hitting his microphone. Well. This is David Gergen, I think, of the CIA.
In France now, mm-hmm. I'm maybe the president with a young global leader, but what is important for me?
Is Macron a young global leader as well? I mean, so he set up quite the infrastructure around the world. What do you think of that?
Yeah, he did a good job. He's a good manager, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's not the boss. He's definitely not the boss. Like I said before, the bosses' number one thing of importance to the big bosses are secrecy. So you'll never know who the bosses are. But he's a great manager, Klaus Schwab. You know, absolutely, 100%. Like I said before, it's going according to plan. And that's why I really hope that they do more than just a picnic in Ottawa with all these thousands and thousands of truckers. I get it. I understand. But if they're going to go there to do a picnic for a couple of days and then drive back home, it's kind of useless. Nothing's going to happen. So, you know, there's a couple of different routes that they can take in terms of strategy. That's one of them that might happen, where they just go and congregate for two or three days and then go home. And then there's other strategies that you can utilize with all those people. So, and I guess I'll leave that to the viewers for imagination.
President, the Prime Minister of Belgium, President of France, New Zealand, Finland, they're all young global leaders, just to name a few. It's stunning. And then the second part of the plan is to set up these charities called public health units all around the world to be the de facto governments. It's just stunning. Yeah. And let's be honest, the world really is always ripe for takeover, because if we have these so-called representative governments, if somebody stronger comes in and usurps, because it just allows for, just takes advantage of the openness of so-called representative democracies, we're always ripe for a takeover, always.
And yes,
because we're never on guard for it, these guys just moved in. It's been brilliant, and it's been slow, and it's stealth, it's Fabian style. So I'll chip away a little bit every year over a 25-year, 40-year period, and now they just pulled the trigger, and here we go.
Oh, yeah. And they got all the money in the world. They own the central banks. That helps, too. So
that's the main part of it. That's the main part of it.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll see what happens when the truckers get to Ottawa. we'll see what they do with the opportunity presented to them. You know, we'll see what happens.
Well, so, my idea was, since they are already pulling back, or they appear to be reversing course or just relaxing in the UK, Ireland. I think you said, or somebody sent me a link, that first week of February, they're going to knock it off in the US. I think, as I heard today, that Biden said, forget about the proposals for running the injection through OSHA. Even though it wasn't a law, or he didn't even sign an executive mandate. He just said, forget it. We're going to call it off and wait for the Supreme Court decision last week, which is more BS. So maybe Trudeau will just say, we'll pull it back, but really just in line with all the other major governments, will be more of a coincidence. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the problem here is, even if they're going to pull back with the COVID war, as I stated before, the problem is they're still going to keep these vaccine passports or data passports.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. So me and you, we're stranded here. Unless we all get on my sailboat here in Sydney, Nova Scotia, and we take off on the Atlantic Ocean, but like, for the most part, everybody's stranded who didn't get vaccinated. So Dirty Benny says here, come on, Diego, give a prediction on the truckers. Honestly, Dirty Benny, my prediction on them, what's going to happen is not much is going to happen. If anything happens, with over 500,000 people there, if you see violence, it'll be non-strategic violence that happens there, which is totally the useless kind of violence. And you might see a couple people going to jail. You might see some police officers getting hurt. We'll see what happens. I'm not sure. I don't think that they're going down with the, there's a group of them going down, with strategic violence,
I think if anything, it'll just be, agent provocateurs might try something and try and put it on them. That's the most likely thing. I think they're aware of that.
Yeah, you might see something similar to January 6th, Antifa or, BLM, whatever they're called. You're right. So I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't think much is going to come out of it, to be honest with you. You might see some scuffles. You might see a little bit of this, a little bit of that, nothing major. The news people are going to cover it, call them anti-vaxxers, and everyone's going to go home after a few days, and that'll be that. Nothing much is going to change. They have to make, they have to make a stand once they get to Ottawa. They cannot leave. They cannot leave the parliament, all 500,000 people. And I don't mean they got to be violent, like extreme violence. I mean, they cannot leave. They got to demand that these mandates are gone. It doesn't matter if they're there for 6 months. These people cannot leave. Yeah, they cannot leave. If you see these truckers all leaving in a few days, it's over. It's done. That was the most golden opportunity that they had to make a significant difference, and they messed it up, right? So yeah. My advice to them is, if you're going to go and you're going to travel all the way across Canada in the cold weather, make it worth your time. Do not leave. Make it difficult for these police officers. And like I said, I don't mean extreme violence. With all those people in trucks there, they don't have to do violence. They can bust balls, man, and stay there for months and months and months and bring the whole damn city to a standstill if they want to. The cops are not going to do nothing with 500,000 people there. So, I that's how I feel. But you got to have the gusto, man. You got to have the balls to do stuff like that. And I hope they do. I hope we do see that. I hope the truckers have had enough and they're willing to go to that extreme to not leave. They're just not going to leave. They're not going to be violent, but they're not leaving either until things are sorted out. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm interested to see what happens. And I'm surprised Ab's not going. He's a trucker.
Yeah, but I can't leave because I can't leave my work because I have obligations, and then I'd have to find someone else to do it. And I think they're going to get stuck. The 401 was closed yesterday, or actually this morning. Actually, it was closed because of the terrible snow cleaning jobs they've been doing. Last week was horrible, and this week it almost seems like the snow plows are not behaving properly this year, or they're not getting paid right, or they're on COVID duty, whatever. The job is just horrible this year. So the 401 is, I just don't want to get stuck on there, because if they do close the roads into the capital, then they're going to be on the side of the road. And I spend enough time in my truck every day. I don't want to stay in it overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. With limited supplies and limited toiletries and all that. That's not my idea of fun, especially when it's minus 20, it's going down to minus 20 tonight. I don't have a big interest. I don't mind putting my money where my mouth is. I sent some money in for sure. I think I'll help pay for fuel for all those guys, but I have no problem with that. You know, I'm part of the 5 million there, but
yeah, no, you know what? I get you. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's tough. And you guys have been, I heard in Ontario, Southern Ontario, you guys have been getting dumped on. Here in Sydney, Nova Scotia, we got nothing. We got dry roads, man. Nothing. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a big dump last Monday. I couldn't get out of my driveway, so I spent all day snow blowing with my small snow blower, which normally is fine most of the years, but every 20 years it's too small. Mm-hmm. So it was a big deal. The latest update from the fundraisers, and these fundraisers, I've never heard of these people. Apparently they're connected with some kind of maverick Western Canadian party, but they say that, and by the way, this just shows whoever controls the money controls the movement. So now these two people that have organized this 5 million, they're saying that Pat King, who I think is genuine, and he is in the video that I was just showing here. I'll let him speak a bit so you know who Pat King is. Let me just turn the volume on.
They've got the sacred fire lit. The teepee is up. It's sitting on Sister Mary Claire. I'm looking for all our pipe carriers, our warriors, our drummers.
Anyway, the official fundraiser guys are saying that Pat King is not and never has been affiliated with our movement, nor has he been part of our great team of volunteers. Patrick King only represents himself and does not represent any of us who started Freedom Convoy 22. So, you know, you can already see this is not necessarily going to be a coherent bunch that are running this thing. And again, I don't know who these people are, whether they are on our side or not. It's hard to tell. And it would be really difficult to have any great expectations for this group, because these are just people that are mad. But I don't think they have any coherent message. They don't have a media coordinator. I mean, that's the whole point of political organizations. Once people come together for a common cause, they need to organize, like you said, into a coherent group. And there's going to be dissent in the group. There's going to be fighting in the group. That's the nature of humanity. But I don't think they have a particular message other than we want this to stop. And I would say that even within this group, people have different views on everything involved in the PSYOP.
Yeah, you're right. And the scary thing is, I've been listening to some podcasts and you know, some underground guys talking, and there are wings of them that are violent. No, make no mistake. So I'm hoping, like my grandfather, when he was alive, he would always tell me, Diego, don't ever go to these protests, you know, be careful, you know, don't. And I always wondered why. And I asked him before he passed away. And he said to me that they can be very dangerous, and all it takes is one person, you know, to kick things off. And
crowds are dangerous.
Yeah, crowds are very dangerous, especially big movements like this. So that's one of my worries that I see here, you know, where you're going to get maybe, you know, not all 500,000 people, obviously. Let's say you get even, you know, 50 people that are going there for violence. And then that can really spoil and turn things really ugly really quickly with the cops that are there. So we'll see what happens.
We know that Canada does PSYOPs. We know it's been going on for at least the last 10 years, the Lac-Megantic thing, the fire, the war memorial thing where the speaker was running after the guy in the House of Commons. You had one in Nova Scotia with the so-called shooting with the... I can't remember the name of the small town. These are real live PSYOPs. So there's no doubt that we have a very active PSYOP infrastructure in Canada, whether we do it ourselves or we bring it in from the other Five Eyes nations, who knows? But it's real. So, and they do take advantage of these situations. I guarantee, for instance, with the January 6th thing last year, it was a real organization where people really did go to Washington, but they overlaid a psychological operation film studio type of affair at the Capitol building. So it was integrated together, so it was seamless, so it was impossible for the average person to discern what's real and what's not. So they could do something similar in Canada because they have that level of sophistication, and it's something they do. And at Fakeologist, we're aware of that. We're the average person doesn't even understand that concept.
Yeah, and it took me quite a while to embrace that concept and be aware of that concept. So you almost got to train yourself when you see these PSYOPs that, you know, don't get emotional. It's not true. You got to step back. You actually got to mentally step back and say, okay, you know, what's the scam here? And and kind of, you know, look at it through that kind of lens. So yeah, it took me actually a while to train myself that way. But
well, if you've never been told about it, then how would you even know? You don't know what you're looking at. And this is the best video that I've seen, called Everything Wrong with the Capitol Shooting in 21 Minutes or Less. They show the PSYOP part where they're in the Capitol building running the little simulation of the woman getting shot. And it's really important to understand how this is done. But it was a real march. There were real people there, including the normal agitator type truthers like Alex Jones. And then it merged into this event that nobody really saw. They saw it from the outside, but they didn't see what was inside. And we don't really know what happened inside. It gives some insight in with this video. So,
of large emergency drills are called exercise controllers. Their job is to keep things running according to the master plan. And here's a cover of the guidelines manual, which spells sheep. I mean, Haseep. Any professional emergency response drill or military drill makes use of fake blood in a variety of forms. Blood capsules, sponges, syringes, and squibs. A simple blood squib is a pouch that is designed...
I like watching this because you wouldn't know about any of this stuff unless you were in Hollyweird. And the average consumer has no idea about any of these techniques for special effects and simulating and LARPing. So once you have the language, it's easy to understand.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens when these truckers get down to Ottawa, if they get down there. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what transpires down there. I think, I don't think much is going to come of it. I might be wrong. They might have all the resolve in the world. So we'll see what happens. I, if I was going all the way down to Ottawa, as a trucker to, you know, protest vaccine mandates, I would definitely inform all my followers and friends that we're not leaving until this gets done. We are staying in Ottawa. I don't care if it takes 6 months, we're staying there. So, and that'll be that. So, but that's just me. I don't know if everybody else is, you know, has that same mindset. Maybe a lot of people want to go have a party and be on Facebook live streams and then go home after a couple of days. So I really don't know what the atmosphere is like right now. So,
well, they're not even there yet. They're now coming into Ontario from the west. I'm not sure when the southern from Windsor starts off. I'm guessing it'll start maybe Thursday. To get there Saturday, they'll take their time. So maybe 2 days from Windsor all the way up. The eastern one, I'm not sure where that one is. I guess we could look it up if we're really interested. I think the website is Canada-Unity. But yeah, it's quite the ragtag army. And
who knows? Maybe they might surprise us and do something really, you know, really memorable and that has impact. So we'll see what happens. So Peterro, so there's all this is supposed to start this Thursday, is that correct, in Ottawa?
Well, it says here everyone will be in Ottawa in 3 days, 15 hours, 7 minutes and 1 second. The plan is to get there on January 29th.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. So they got a little bit of a plan. Once everyone
they have a plan, there. which would give the so-called enemy enough time to organize as well. So it shows the schedule tomorrow, today. They're looks like they're ahead of schedule. Regina to Kenora, January 26th, which is tomorrow. Kenora to Thunder Bay. So this is the plan. It's all they did a pretty good job. It's a pretty good website. The East Route today. Oh, this is Newfoundland. So Newfoundland, they are still there. And then tomorrow or January 27th, I guess they're taking the ferry over to PEI. Anyway, the southern route.
No, they're coming here. North Sydney. The ferry comes right to North Sydney, 20 minutes from me.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they're going. There's two ferries, is there not, from Newfoundland?
Yeah, there is, but the Argentia one only runs in the summertime.
Okay, so they have to go through your area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got to go through Port of Bass, Newfoundland, and then they get on the ferry, 6.5 hour ferry ride over to North Sydney. And then from North Sydney, then they can catch the Trans-Canada Highway from there.
Okay, so maybe they're going to... Okay, interesting. So maybe they're going to hit you up or come by your way.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Right.
St. John's to Port of Bass. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is about as good as it's going to get from Canada, and we're doing more than the U.S., but people are hanging their hopes on it.
We'll see what happens. Anyway. They got to give it their best shot. Here in my community, the whole trucker convoy is getting slammed over here in Cape Breton Island.
What for?
Oh, they can't stand Pat King here, and they think he's just Oh man, like it's maybe me and like 10 other people out of 40,000 people here that you know hate these mandates, and then you know are totally against all this crap, right? So that's what you're dealing with.
The essence of the problem, then. That is the essence. It's so many people.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why. I don't agree with mass non-compliance. That's great on paper, but in reality, it doesn't work. There's 40,000 people here in my community. 2 years later into this, it's only like me and 10 other people, like who know that this is like a psyop and it's a waste of time and it's just totally bogus. So that's what we're dealing with, you know. And this is here in my little community of 40,000 people. So it's crazy. There's no such thing as, you know, mass non-compliance. That's for the movies.
So your informal polls has people not liking Pat King and those that even know who he is.
Oh, yeah. He's getting slammed here on the local Facebook page, the Cape Breton Rant Room. They're slamming him. They're even taking snippets of his videos of him brushing his nose. and saying that he's sick and he's going to spread, you know, a super spreader event, and, you know, just total garbage, right? These people are like out in left field, but that's what you're dealing here with here, the mindset that you're dealing with here. So it's crazy over here. I can't go anywhere and discuss anything with any of these people. It's like talking to the zombies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right. Well, it's been about a week. What do you have for us? What have you been looking into in the last week?
You know what? I've actually been so busy with a new strategy. I've been developing here, arbitrage strategy with crypto. So I've been like super, super busy trying to, figure this, break it down and figure it all out. And, yeah, that's what I've been busy with. And then like on my off time, just, looking at your videos, of course, and Pat King, and seeing what's happening out there in the world. And yeah, COVID war is coming to an end, but these guys got to do something about these vaccine passports, or else you and me, we're never leaving Canada on a jet aircraft. So we'll definitely see what happens. And
my only optimism, if the end game is the passport, then the ejection part, I still think, might go away. I'm hoping.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens. Because you know what? At the end of the day, they could have done the passports without killing all these people. All they had to do was a financial monetary reset, crash everything, and then move everybody over to a digital currency. And you would have had to been on a phone application anyway. So. Mm-hmm. But the whole point of this COVID thing, I think one of the big things is to keep your eye off the ball with the financial problems that are going to be coming up here in the future. So, and they have something convenient to blame all these financial problems on. So it'll be interesting to see what the next few months hold. And, you know, are we going to believe these people? You know, they've lied constantly, for the whole 2 years. All of a sudden they're doing an about face, you know, like in England and Ireland, and we don't need these passports anymore. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, especially in Canada, Australia, you know, the hardcore, you know, systems. We'll see what happens here.
I don't know if I've ever asked you, but what is your take on the whole idea of Canada being broke? For instance, we have all these resources. The only reason we're broke is because we're addicted to cheap international money that's been loaned to us in order to take over our country. But as a country, we have 35, 40 million people in our country. We have enough resources to take care of ourselves. So the enemy of the globalists are the nationalists. So if we just decided to become a standalone country, which is what we're supposed to be, and not integrated into the worldwide globalist currency money system, would we all be better off and richer as a people? Would that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so.
We got everything.
We got water. We got fresh water. We got electricity. We got a lot of stuff. If you notice anything that the central banks touch, turned to shit. Not for them, for you.
Hmm.
So what
the central bank is the instrument of the elite to take us over all the time.
Yes, yes. So if, what you're saying is, if we were to secede as a country and be totally independent, would we be better off financially and as a whole, as a people, as Canadians? Absolutely, I think 100%.
Now, is that the main idea that they don't ever want us to discuss?
Yeah, that's like the as they say, the 500-pound elephant in the room. They don't want you guys seceding, and they don't even want a province seceding, right? Imagine Cape Breton or Nova Scotia or Ontario wanted to go on its own. You would never hear talk of, you know, they would, the mainstream news would never let anyone talk about that. And you're right, that's that is one of the enemies to these globalist people. But they have so much control now. They literally own everything, you know, from the top down, whether it be energy, water, the banking, the fiat currency, the exchange, monetary exchange system. So it would be very, very, very difficult to do that.
I agree. It would be very difficult because we're all hypnotized. We're all captured. All our leaders are captured. They're all working for the global elite via their middle management, like you said, Klaus Schwab. They've all been trained by the World Economic Forum, and they've got this public health infrastructure that they've set up to usurp the existing representative government. They've got all of their infrastructure in place, and now they're just executing the plan. But again, if we blocked off the resources to them, and then they'd have to send in their armies to literally get rid of the opposition to us trying to protect our own resources, because we have the resources. Like you said, we got the Canada has everything except warm weather most of the year. That's the only thing we're kind of missing. But we have greenhouses, and we have enough of a growing season where we can make our own food and keep it for ourselves and our own oil. We've got everything. Main thing is water, though, of course. We've got more water than any other country probably in the world, fresh water.
Yeah, I mean, it'll... Stupid here says Canada would be worse off if it got rid of a Rothschild bank. No, I don't think so. I think
we loan money to ourselves. That's the whole point of the banking system. They loan money from the elite, and then we pay these interests that we can't ever pay back, because they're the old system where they're loaning money from thin air. But if we lent it to ourselves, this to me is the big thing they want to keep from us. We loan money to ourselves, interest-free, build the infrastructure. And as much, this is one of the reasons why I believe Germany had to be destroyed, because that was the concept that I got out of some of the alternative history movies about Germany, is they were building the country for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen the
internationalist money system?
Yeah, have you ever seen the documentary, the series of Zeitgeist?
I've seen Zeitgeist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they got some interesting concepts there. The way they would run, you know, a country or a world with all its resources and pooling it together and using technology and the benefit of people. They claim that they wouldn't even have money in the Zeitgeist, world. Everything would be robotic. You wouldn't need to work anymore. Everything would be for free. They would utilize, harness all the energies on the planet. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting thing when I was watching it, but who knows?
Think people have to work. I mean, this is the problem. If nobody works, they think robots are going to do everything. Then we'll just go right back to the way the World Economic Forum wants to do things. In a way, they don't want Canadians to work, because they have their Chinese operation making everything for the world, and that's sort of the trap they want everyone to fall into. But without work, there's no honor, there's no motivation.
But at some point, though, most people have to come to the realization that in the next 50 years a lot of these jobs are going to be gone through AI and robotics.
Yes.
And it's been happening. I've even noticed it when I was a kid working at Chrysler in Brampton, Ontario, at the Chrysler plant. They're making $22 an hour. There was people, hey, where did Joe go? Oh, he went to another area because his job got replaced by a new robot for putting a windshield on or whatever it was. That was happening like 25 years ago.
Oh yeah.
So this is what we have to accept. And I read a thing from I forgot who it was. I think it was CNBC that they're saying in the next 20 years, up to 87% of jobs are going to be gone due to robotics and AI.
Yeah, I posted that story as well. Yeah. That was from a while ago. That was an old story, but yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting stuff, and I know, we know it's coming. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think a lot of these, jobs, menial jobs are going to be gone. I don't think, they're going to be even truck drivers. I think, that'll be gone too.
It'd be highly, they're definitely going to automate it more and more and more. But just like us owning our own resources, we can also own our own destiny. If we don't want that, we can keep it out to an extent. Just look at the Mennonites and the Hutterites. They have access to all this and they've eschewed it, and they're still living the old life that we think is a crappy life, but it's a life all of them know, and they seem to be, well, some of them seem to be happy anyway. So it is all a choice.
Yeah. I mean, they're happy and they're vaccine free.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, so. I think some of them do get vaccinated, according to the Amish do anyway, but it.
Well, I went to the Amish community here in Truro, Nova Scotia. I passed by there and asked one of the elders there, and he said, no, there's not one person there that gets vaccinated. They don't believe in anything. And so I asked him again. The other question that I was dying to ask him was, I asked him, I go, do you see autism? Do you see asthma? Do you see skin rashes? Allergies. Do you see allergies, all that kind of stuff? He said, no, absolutely not. And when you see forgive me for saying this, but when you see the Amish children, they look like tanks, man, because they look so, and I mean that in a nice way, because they look so strong, because they're always like walking back and forth from the, you know, on the roads and carrying stuff. And they look like strong, like they look, you know, very, very strong. If you look, mm-hmm. if you took a 10-year-old Amish boy and compared mm-hmm. him to a 10-year-old Amish kid here in Sydney, like that Amish boy would, you know, physically would run circles around these kids here, man.
Well, he probably knows how to work on a farm too.
Yes, absolutely. So that was one question I was begging to ask the, you know, the elder statesman there in the community. And we have many Amish communities here in Nova Scotia. So it's not, you can just drive right to their communities and go ask them for yourself. And they'll tell you they're honest people. They're not going to lie. They're going to say, no, we don't get vaccinated. And the one that I asked in Truro, they have approximately 4,000 Amish people. And he said, absolutely not. We don't have cell phones. We don't have anything like that. No vaccines, no nothing, no asthma in the children, no autism, nothing, zero. He said it's very rare for a child to go to to seek medical attention. Very rare for them to leave the compound.
Well, that just sort of proves my point. If we choose to live that kind of lifestyle, we could. We could emphasize these communities. We could show them as a compare and contrast and tell people, do you want this? Do you want this new world where women work just as many hours as men and there's no one to raise the children, so we have to pass them off to the state? And that's the big thing, of course, now that we're trying to drive it on terrible. I heard on the news today that they're trying to get $10 a day daycare, and that's such a wonderful goal. So the parents don't have to crack open as much from their own pockets, and the state will subsidize their daycare and take their children when they're young.
They have it here. They have that here. They have that program here. $10.
Yeah, I know. They said Ontario's the only province that doesn't have it yet. So do we want that, or do we want to raise our own children? Is that a worthy goal? Do women really want to do men jobs? Yeah, so they don't have time to raise their own children. Is that really the best thing for a community or a country? I think it's pretty obvious. The answer is absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
Listen, experiment with that.
I'm with you 100%. The more interaction you have with your children and with your community, not just your children, but with your community, the better off that you guys are going to be. And you're right. You're right. Where, you know, if you take your own resources and you live like the Amish and you do your own thing outside the technological bubble of society, then it'll be great. But you know, then you got to deal with these people. You got to deal with the cabal. And how do you know they're not going to send in an army or police or people with guns to, you know, push you around and bully you around? You know, they tried pushing the Amish community right around your area, somewhere in Ontario there last year. They tried bothering these people. These Amish people have never bothered anybody. They don't, you know, they're the nicest people. They don't bug anyone. And here you have these scumbag politicians and cops, you know, starting with these Amish people.
Put their COVID draconian nonsense on them. I think that was happening.
Unbelievable. Unreal. And are they dying? Did the Amish people in that community die of the COVID? They're stronger than anybody, than the normal population in Canada, man. Come on. They work every day with their hands. you know, on a farm, and like they're troopers, man. Like, I mean, and they don't bother anyone. They're salt of the earth people. And here you go again with the the scumbag cops and you know, politicians butting into people's lives, into adults' lives, and thinking they can push them around and tell them what to do. So to me, I can't stand watching that stuff, but you're right. You're 100% right. I wish I could just snap my finger and say, okay, Ab, we're going to do our own thing. And
well, I think if people knew that there are, most people are aware of the Amish. They probably don't know much about it. And I'm not saying it's a utopia, especially since we're so used to our devices, but when given the option and seeing the alternatives, do you want to really go into this brave new meta world where people are living through technology and they're not, they're not just being social. They're not being outside. They don't have any connection to the land anymore. Everything, you press a button and it shows up on your porch. Of course, you won't be allowed to have a porch in the future or in your backyard. You'll be in your cell in 90. You'll love this. I just hear on the radio here in Toronto, they're advertising a new tower for Yonge and Dundas, which is our really sort of ugly central square in Toronto now. They're advertising for a 95-story tall tower, one or two to go up there. And you know, I thought to myself, would you really want to live on the 94th floor of any building anywhere in the world, especially in Toronto? Is that something to yearn for, to be in a little tiny 300 square foot way up in the air like that? Is that something people actually want?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget, you have a lot of adults in this country, you know, men that are in their pajamas playing video games all day long for 20 hours. That's all they do. That's all they want to do. They don't want to go outside. They don't want to go out into the real world. They just want to play video games. And I know a lot of them here. You never see them. And oh, and by the way, here, I don't know if it's a thing in Ontario, but when I go to Walmart here, I'll see grown men and women here with their pajamas on at the local Walmart here. They don't even get out of their pajamas, man. It's buy the groceries, go home, right back to the video games. Yeah, they don't want to leave. They're not like me and you. These people want to stay home. They want to be taken care of by the government, and they'll do whatever. And then if they got to take 5 booster shots to do it, yeah, they'll do it, no problem. And they're with it, absolutely.
Well, then that's what they want. So maybe we will have to join the Amish and leave these people behind.
Maybe pajama people.
Well, yeah, I often have the feeling that we are really the minority in so many ways, and the minority's not going to get their way. We're not gonna have that society we want as long as we have the smallest number of people interested.
Yeah, I mean you're right. When you have people, and if you came to my community here, it's like everybody here wants to be home. Everybody. Well, you should have seen when you just recently mentioned, you know, $10 a day childcare, and the government will, you know, take your child for $10 a day. You should have seen the women here, the single moms, and there's tons of single moms here. They were going crazy. They loved it. They started calling Trudeau their baby daddy. That's what they said here online. I was shaking. Oh, yeah. They love it, man. They love it. The more government hands out free money, the better.
So sad. So sad. Well, I guess if the traditional family has been blown away, then that's what women or young women aspire to. And the men are in their pajamas playing video games and not being men in the traditional way, because that's been programmed out of them and their parents. It was programmed out of them. Then we're in super big trouble.
I knew we were in super big trouble when I seen these I call them the snowflake generation. They're not leaving their house. They're not leaving their house. I gave the example already on a 30 degree day, a beautiful summer day here in Sydney, Nova Scotia in the summertime. Mm-hmm. I am the only person outside riding my bike, cycling for 2 or 3 hours. I don't see not one other person exercising. And I live right on the Atlantic Ocean, such a beautiful view. You would think there would be hundreds of people exercising and walking and getting a good view of the ocean. And there's not, and I'm the only one in the summertime here. So that just shows you. So if they're not out exercising and they're not at work, what are they doing?
It says here the Amish population in Ontario is only 5,000. That's not very much. That's pretty tiny. That's pretty crazy tiny. So stupid wanted to know. A tiny community in Canada. And they're sort of scattered all around.
What do you think is going to happen with the truckers in Ottawa?
I think it's probably going to last a few days. And I don't know if they're going to get right into the parliament area. I get the feeling they're going to be kept out of the perimeter of Ottawa. I'm pretty sure they're building the perimeter now and they're not going to get past it. But because they're narrow roads, there's only two lane roads that go into Ottawa and a couple expressways. They're pretty easy to cut off. And if they block all those truckers, I can just see them parked at the side of the road and causing massive delays going through central Ontario. And you know, you can't even turn around a truck easily. You have to really plan your route. And if everything's blocked, either by snow or by traffic, it's a big operation for a truck to even turn tail and go back to the which way he came. So I don't know. I don't know how big it is because, of course, we've been lied to with the numbers for everything in the last 2 years. I don't really know. I'm hearing 100-kilometer long convoys, which is that's a tremendous, tremendous number of people. So you're going to have a logistics problem if all these people converge because all these people need all the things humans need: food, water, shelter, sanitation. What are you going to do with them all? They can't just book into motels and hotels.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I have no idea. There's no
capacity for that at all.
Yeah, it might get ugly.
Yeah. So really, we're really gonna have to see the reaction of the population to this. This will be quite the logjam. And the longer it lasts, the uglier it's going to get, just because if people don't have facility to eat and do all the things humans do, then it's going to become a logistics problem, I think. That's why, personally, I don't want to be in the middle of it. I'm just not a rough and ready kind of guy for that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I heard also there was quite a few of them stating online that they were just going to walk into the restaurants in Ottawa and demand to be served, even at the vaccine passport places, and they weren't going to leave either, you know, at the restaurant.
Well, there's safety in numbers, so if 20 guys come in and say we want to eat, what are you going to do as two or three people?
Well, they're going to just call the Ottawa Police Department, and then cops are going to show up, and then at that point, at that moment in time, then we're really going to see what's going to happen, because either those 20 or 50 or 100 guys, either they're going to fight with the cops and it's going to be a disaster, and then the cops are just going to call more people, and then more guys are going to have to come, and then those are the points.
He's undercover, guys. He's just rolling in with you guys.
So here's Pat King Kenora now.
Where are they now?
They're in Kenora.
Oh, they're all okay. Northern Ontario still.
That's Highway 17. Kenora is the first real Ontario place coming over
Kenora's
the border.
Cold.
Oh, man, it's cold everywhere. All of North America is super cold right now, actually. Even the bottom half of Florida. Okay, maybe you're you're okay over there.
We're okay here. Yeah, it's like 1 or 2 degrees here tonight. It's beautiful outside right now. And like I said, we got like no snow here. It's like dry road.
But I looked at the bottom of, this is a small town in Ontario. Where are you going to put all these people? They got lots of support. Where are you going to park all your trucks? These are big trucks. You can't necessarily just park on the side of the road. And this looks like a hotel over here, but you know, there's only room for 50 people there. But they're just flying into Kenora right now. It's a great turnout. Like, I'm very encouraged by looking at all the support they're getting at the side of the road. Look at all these people. They're lined up for that. That's it's impressive.
Yeah, look, I applaud the gusto and the passion. I do, but we're gonna see what happens when they get there. That's gonna be the you know, where the rubber meets the road, and we're gonna see what happens. What are they gonna do when they get there? Are they gonna cower and leave when the police tell them to leave? When the RCMP tell them to leave, because they're causing such a logistical problem in Ottawa, where no groceries can get to any of the stores, no business people can get open their businesses, because that's what's going to happen, right? People are going to start complaining that all these trucks are there, and their businesses are losing money and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to leave, or are they going to dig their heels in and say, we're not leaving until things change? That's going to be, you know, where if a smile does come on my face, it'll be at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And it's interesting that it appears, now I'm on Pat King's channel. I don't really know what other channels there are broadcasting this live. Pat King's at the beginning. They're really starting to attack him now, including the organizers of the $5 million fund. And like I said, whoever controls the money seems to have a bit of power. So it's quite interesting how they're trying to already divide this group, which isn't necessarily a group. It's just a bunch of people that have assembled together. So it's fun to watch. It's hard to believe this is Canada, not the United States, where this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And you got InRise Movement. It's going to be a blast when they get there. I can't wait. Are you InRise Movement? Are you going to Ottawa? Because if you are, I hope you tell your friends and your colleagues there to dig your heels in and don't leave. Don't just go for 2 days and then, you know, turn around and go home. And that would be saddening.
There's 5,000 people watching this live stream right now. That's pretty good. And it's hard to believe the cellular connection is working in Kenora. Not exactly the major city.
Somebody's going by there in a four-wheeler. Knock that sign over so nobody gets turned the wrong way.
Online, the address is 470 Lakeview Drive, I think it was, but I don't know if that's where we're still going.
He's getting good support. And hey, it's not Chris Sky. That's the other thing, huh?
Yeah, what happened to him? I haven't seen much of him lately.
He's pretty much relegated to Telegram. And his latest thing he posted is that he's married and has a girlfriend, and he wanted to dispel any myths about what his polyamorous relationships are. So before the anyone else trashed him, but he's, yeah, you know, as much as I like Chris Guy, and as much as he does really emphasize the vaccine passport and what this is really all about, it's easy. He's a little too narcissistic for the average Canadian. Most Canadians are fairly humble people. They don't like people that make a lot of noise. That's just not their style. Mm-hmm. Pat King, to me, is more of their style.
Yeah, I could see that blue-collar type guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys still think Trudeau's vote was legal?
Yeah, I
do. You guys
do, still
think that you know, that voting system that we use here in Canada, the Liberal government got in again?
Yeah, I do.
Pretty sure this all proves it.
No, they did get in. You know, one thing I did do, Tiago, I don't know if I told you, is I went and audited the ballot at my local ballot boxes. I went and audited the vote count. Have you ever done that?
I was never.
Yeah. Because I wanted to see if everything was on the up and up. I watched the ballots being counted, and most people voted for Trudeau. That is a fact,
really?
At least where I live.
Wow.
There was no question. I figured I'd only have to watch for 10 minutes and get a general trend, because that trend, as you know, as a trader, the trend is your friend. And I could see within 10 minutes, this was going to be a Liberal almost majority.
Wow.
And the numbers don't lie. I saw the ballots. I was looking mainly for on behalf of the PPC, because I just wanted to be on the participate with from their point of view. So they invited me to scrutineer, and I was seeing just one out of 200 ballots going to the PPC party, which is sort of the more libertarian version, and that told me everything I needed to know.
Wow, incredible. I'm glad you told me. Yeah.
And the chief election, the chief person in charge of the polling station, I think it's the PTO, you'll love this. It was a woman, a female, who said she was a man. That was the first thing I noticed.
Unreal, man.
Yeah, holy. So then I knew, well, I knew I was in just another world. You know, she's a perfectly nice woman, but she made it clear she was identifying as a man. I kid you not.
Well, I mean, this is the world we live in.
I know. Yeah. Well, that was the first person to meet me when I got there, and I thought, wow. See, sometimes you realize as you get older that the world that you thought existed has just left you behind. You know, you're not in the world that you used to be 25 years ago. You know, you're busy working, nose to the grindstone, raising a family, and all of a sudden the whole world has changed right under your nose, you know, because you're just not current. You're not relevant anymore. So that's what it told me.
Yeah, pretty different type situation there.
But I did watch the votes. I did watch them, and Trudeau won in my area. And so, wow. I really unfortunately think that it was the correct numbers. They were the correct numbers. I can't speak for every area of the world or of the country, but where I was, it was exactly dead on.
So. Yeah, and I don't, I think you're right. If you were to come here to my area in Sydney, all Liberal here, 100%. All Justin Trudeau territory over here. That's what that's unequivocally for sure.
Well, when someone is giving you free stuff, it's really hard to say, no, we don't want it. Isn't it? When someone comes to you.
You're right. And the vast community here in my area here are people who live on government money. We're, as you know, the East Coast here, we're everybody's on the dole, on government money over here. So they love, Justin Trudeau and the Liberals, right? Because that's all they do is give them free shit, man.
And isn't that the big problem? Isn't that why the globalists are just going to take everything again? Because they can give their phony baloney money to people how can you win against that? You really can't.
That's what I've been saying since the beginning, right? I told you since the beginning, the central banks are going to do this with ease. Those were my exact words. Because they control the printing of the money, pure and simple. That's it. They can buy whoever they want. Yeah, they own the armies, they own the police departments, and they can do whatever they want, and they will do whatever they want. And people like you and I, we're very small. We're the minority of the minority.
Yeah, 0.001%.
Yeah, they don't give a they don't care about you and I. They're like, yeah, okay, whatever. We know they exist, and we'll take care of them later, sort of thing. Once we corral the herd.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's getting a ton of views. He's got 7,200 people watching his live feed. So that's a pretty good crowd. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. And you got somebody on here, Inrise Movement, says, Fakeologist, loud voices saying hello to you and everyone here. Hello to you. Nice. Yeah. Hello to you.
My system, I'm trying to get to that window. But, well, we've been going about an hour. So I appreciate you joining me. Let me just see who that is. Fakeologist, loud voices saying hello to you. I don't know what that means, but thank you anyway. That's great. Yeah, that's cool. Well, thanks for joining, Tiago. I really appreciate it. You're always available right away when I call. I didn't really plan. I don't really plan out my shows too far in advance. So if I get anyone on or a regular like you, it's fantastic. But
well, you know what, thanks for giving me a shout. I'm always here 18 18 hours a day.
Yeah, you're really good. And I looked up your buddy what is this, Jeff Gallant? I looked him up, actually. Did that show ever surface back up, the one you were on? Did you ever?
No, it didn't. No, they removed it. So
it didn't get saved by anybody?
Apparently not. I don't know. Maybe you guys know a way that it was saved. I don't. I have no clue. They said it just disappeared and was taken down the next day. I tried rewatching it and showing a few friends, and I couldn't get access to it ever again. So, oh well.
Yeah, I think from what I quickly could find out about Jeff is he ran for the PPC party, I believe, in his area. So he looks like he has a pretty good following. He has a pretty good view. He's a little aggressive. He curses a lot, but I know he's angry about the situation. But
all I can tell you is the vast majority of his audience hated what I had to say about the central banks.
Oh, were they even familiar with him? Your concepts?
Not really, but I don't think they were. So much to the point where they actually called him and messaged him and said that this guy's scaring the living shit out of us with the central talking about central banks and a digital currency and all this kind of stuff. So they didn't want to hear any of it. So
okay.
To me, it was either taken down or he took it down on purpose because he didn't want anyone else to see it. That's what I think, but we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Well,
I might be wrong.
Yeah, fake all. Yeah, I can't. Facebook has been pretty liberal with what they've allowed up. There's quite a few no vax sites on Facebook. I know they're shadow banned, but they don't necessarily get taken down. So you're right. It is to talk about the central banks in the way you do is, to me, it's pretty harmless. And even George, what's his name? Gammon, his stuff stays up on YouTube, and he's talking money all the time. The only thing he censors himself about is vaccine. He doesn't use that word. So,
yeah, I mean, I think, in my honest opinion, I think he took it down. I think he took it down because his, you know, his older population people there in New Brunswick and Quebec, they literally almost had a heart attack of what I was talking about going on for about an hour and a half. So I don't think they heard anything like that before. So they're big time into Donald Trump. I noticed the people that, you know, they think that Trump is going to save them and they can't wait till he gets reelected. This is all going to change when he gets reelected. One of the questions he asked me, and he said, do you think if Trump gets reelected, do you think that's going to change anything? I said, no. I said, because Trump is at the mercy of the central banks. I said he's going to do small stuff like executive order type stuff. He might wave his magic executive order wand and say, okay, no more vaccine passports at the border. I can see something small like that. But like for the big stuff, you know, in terms of central bank control of collapse, the collapsing of the economy and all that, Trump's got no say in that. He's not going to be able to do nothing about that. So, and I don't think they like that too much.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on all that. I agree with you on all that. And I like to know about what's next. And you and I seem to be on the same page when it comes to the technocracy they're bringing in and the digital currency. It all makes complete sense to me. Anyone that does serious research realizes it's follow the money. And they've been saying for hundreds of years, we don't care who you vote in. It's who controls the banks that controls the country. Pretty simple to figure out, isn't it? It's pretty.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty I sent you a paper a couple of days ago on the New York Fed, Powell, saying it's done. Digital currency's here. They got their cryptographers are almost all done with the American digital currency that'll be coming out. So it's almost done. This is from the mouth of the leader of the New York Federal Reserve, not from me, from Powell. From the New York Fed leader there, one of the leaders. So it's not coming from me. This is them saying it. And this is what I've been telling everybody for I don't know how long. And behind the scenes, they got all these crypto guys working on their new blockchain technology, to get the ball rolling with the new Fed coin, digital Fed coin. So I told you, it's coming. They're announcing it. They don't even give a shit anymore. They're just telling it in public. They don't care. It's not a secret anymore.
Yeah. It's always hidden in plain sight. It's never been a secret because they do want people to be familiar somewhat with it. So when it comes in, it won't be such a shock. And it will be offered as the solution to the problem. Yeah. People are always looking for the solution. Yeah. at Fakeologists, we're not afraid of this information. I just like to know in advance, so whatever we can do to prepare is what I like to do. So for sure we're not afraid of it. I like the information for sure. And I think most Fakeologists can take it.
Oh yeah. I mean, the people on here are definitely they definitely are clued in and they know what's going on a wide variety of subject, not just the the financial part of it, a lot more so than I am. So this is new. I'm still adjusting to the audience here. Like I said, I got a lot to learn in terms of seeing a news event and stopping myself emotionally, stepping back from the situation and looking at not getting emotional. That I'm learning how to do that. I'm not the best at that yet, but I'm getting there. So I still have a lot to learn myself in terms of not falling prey to a PSYOP initially.
Well, we're in the biggest PSYOP in the history of the world. So it's these little ones are almost unnoticed because they're so irrelevant compared to this big one. This virus hoax, it's just so big. It blows my mind. It exhausts me, actually.
and we'll see what happens out in the Ukraine there with Russia.
Did you see the movie Wag the Dog?
No.
Oh, you have to go see that. That's Fakeology 101. That's from the 1990s. Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro. You have to watch that. It's basically start a war, start a sex scandal, and get people off and misdirected from what's happening. And
that's what my friend said. He said they're going to start a war. Yeah, he said they're going to start a war out there to help forget the COVID war. He goes, that's the whole point of it. He goes, so that way they start distancing and putting the COVID war in the rearview mirror. Yeah. He goes. They're gonna start with the Ukraine, and bombs are gonna start flying, and who said a few weeks ago that when all fails, like Gerald Celente says, they take you to war. When all else fails, they take you to war. Here we go, right? Gas prices
are
gonna go
to the moon.
And
they don't even have to create a real war if the war is gonna be on TV. That was the whole point of
Wag
the Dog.
Yes, absolutely.
Same
You're 100%
with Baghdad.
Right.
Same with Baghdad. Gulf War One, Gulf War Two. They're so good at it now. It's the question is, will anyone watch it? Because CNN and these old networks have just lost their audience. So who's going to watch it? I guess we're going to just watch highlight clips on TikTok.
Well, the new CNN are going to be, I think, compartmentalized into a couple of different things. The Ukraine war coming up, or China war with Taiwan, one of the two that they're ramping up. So I don't know which one, but one of them is going to happen. And then the climate change war. So you're going to have CNN's going to have lots of new information and a new customer base of sheep to, watch what they're talking about. So yeah, they'll get it done. They'll get it done. You know, the propaganda machine will live on.
Oh yeah. But I'm just saying the old fashioned networks, that's only for the 60 pluses, but all the young people in the 20s, they're on the TikTok and they're on the short bursts of video. That's all they have time for. And even I'm not on TikTok. My daughter is, and the stuff she tells me about is, it just blows my mind. Like, I'll ask about any single topic, and boom, it's on TikTok. There's one guy that sort of talks about Fakeology and what's really going on TikTok, and he has thousands of views. He just takes his pencil and points it at the screen and videos it with his phone and puts it on TikTok. He gets tens of thousands of views. It's. I suppose I should be doing the same thing. Just quick little 2-3 minute TikToks on that. So,
yeah, that'll be awesome. I mean, look, if they go to war in Ukraine and Russia there, and we've been taught all our lives to hate Russia and the Chinese and Taiwan, whoever they decide to do it with, it'll be another interesting topic we'll get to talk about here. It'll be awesome.
That's true. We'll be able to pick it apart, but we'll be ready for it. We'll be ready for the so-called war. But
definitely.
All right. Well, we could talk all night. I appreciate it. And we'll get you on again next time.
All right, brother. Have a good night. And thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Yeah. Thank you, Tiago. He's got a website called Silenced Voices of Canada. It's on Facebook. So you got to go to Facebook to get it. Silent Voices of Canada. He posts many times a day, pretty much the same kind of stuff that we like to talk about. And that's where he keeps his blog, and he gets quite a few comments and views. So take a look at Tiago, Silenced Voices of Canada on Facebook. And thank you guys for joining. Went a little longer because we had the guest, Tiago. But if you like this show, you can do like Nick did from England. Go to fakeologist.com/donate and help keep this thing going. I appreciate everyone who joined in. Thanks, everyone, for joining. And yes, White Rabbit, I now know who you are in Rise Movement. Yeah, you were on the show. So thanks all the YouTubers and the FakeoTubers, and we'll talk to you next time.